Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny. Joining me in studio for today's episode, the great Jackie Flynn. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. And also by Freshly Brewed Comedy, Comedy at the Carlson's satellite open mic every Sunday at 7 p.m. at Boulder Cafe and Lounge, 100 Alexander Street in the Southwest. Sign up for comedians at 6:30 p.m. And now, let's kick it over to the studio. Good morning, Carlson casters. My guest today, he's no stranger to the stage or the screen. He's a marvelous stand-up comedian. In fact, he's a winner of the prestigious San Francisco Comedy Festival. You may know him from his appearances on television shows such as Louder Milk and King of Queens, or movies like some of my favorites of my childhood, Kingpin, There's Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene. Come on. It's Jackie Flynn. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Vinny.
How are you, man?
I'm great, man. Nice to be here.
I got to tell you, I wasn't sure what to expect meeting you, Jackie, because... Yeah. I've seen you in everything, man. I feel like every time I've turned around, I've seen Jackie Flynn somewhere in my life.
Yeah.
And we had this little conversation. I'm going to tear the fourth wall down a little bit for everybody. We had this little conversation because we were trying to make social media stuff to promote your weekend.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's just ask Jackie maybe if he can make some cool videos for us just, you know, to promote it. And Jackie sends me a video of him playing golf with Mike Golick from ESPN. Yeah, and I'm like, what? And I look and I started researching this golf angle.
Yeah.
You were like the most famous golfing comedian besides like Bill Murray, aren't you?
Yeah, I golf a lot in these celebrity golf tournaments. Yeah.
They love you with these things.
Yeah, and I love them. It's my, you know, golf's my, you know, my big pastime, favorite, you know, thing to do pretty much besides doing stand-up, you know, and acting.
Well, you're a Boston guy, right?
Yes.
That's a prestigious...
good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for you, me. I'm so grateful and that I started. My formative years were in Boston, so there's a lot of stage time afforded to me. And that's... I tell the young comedians, I said, the only difference between you and I is that, you know, I've been on stage a couple thousand times more than you. You know,
right.
It's just all about getting on stage. And in Boston, there were like 7-8 clubs in a small area that you could go on. I could do 5-6 guest spots a night, you know.
There's nothing better than that experience of being able to test new material and go, oh, that didn't work, and then be able to run down the street
and try
and do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I would get so bored because I wasn't learning anything. If you're doing real well and you're in the same 10 minutes and you're killing, it's not productive. So I would actually try to do new stuff and or actually I would kind of not bomb on purpose, but dig myself a little hole on purpose to try to figure out how to get back and get the crowd back in the palm of my hand again. And so it was like a good exercise, and it made me better as a comedian because I'd lose them. And then I'd go and do shows sometime, and I wouldn't really get rattled by the fact that, oh, that joke didn't work. I don't care. You know, it's like...
It does toughen your skin to it.
Yes.
Because you kind of start to learn that there is a next time.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not the end of the world.
That's what it is. Like, you went, matter of fact, I tell a story all the time that early on in my career, I was doing comedy, let's say a year and a half, and I was, you know, killing in Boston, you know, doing, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute sets. So I went down to New York, and I talked myself on to getting on stage at the Improv in New York at the time. Bud Freeman's, you know, wife Silva ran it. This is how long ago this was. Probably this is 1988, probably.
Okay.
And I just met Jerry Seinfeld prior to this, and there's a reason I'll tell you this. And what happened was he was in Boston working, and I went to the show with the comedians. We got to go backstage and hang out. And I watched him do like 45 minutes. And I remember like just being in awe because I had been doing it at the time, like I said, about a year and a half. And I probably had like, you know, 20 minutes of material. And I said, or at least 20 minutes of good material. And I said, man, it's so inspiring on one hand watching you do this. But at the same time, it's debilitating because you think I could never be that good, you know. And he said, ah, but you're looking at the time he was doing it 12 years.
Yeah.
Which, looking back on it now, I've been doing it 35 years, and 12 years seems so long, and now I realize that was nothing, 12 years, you know. So Seinfeld said, you know, what you're looking at is 45 minutes that I've gleaned out of going on stage every night for 12 years, and it kind of put it in perspective for me, you know. So at any rate, I told that because 3 weeks later, roughly, or a month later, I go down to New York to do this show at the Improv, and it was late at night, and it was like what they used to call prom shows, and okay. It was just really a bucket of blood in there. It was terrible, and I'm thinking I'm hot shit, you know, I'm killing in Boston. I go down there, and I talk my way on. There's a doorman slash guy running the room, and I say, yeah, I'm a comedian from Boston. I'm friends with blah, 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 you know, and all this, dropping all these names, and somehow I browbeat him into putting me on stage, so... Of course, I go down in flames. You know, just a prom show, and I mean, and I'm from Boston, and I'm going fast, and they don't hear and understand me probably. You know, being from New York and Boston, a different accent. And at any rate, I just get off stage with whatever shred of dignity I can imagine. I walk out, and I sheepishly like go by the doorman who I talked my way onto, and I couldn't even like look at him, and he's just kind of looking at me like, yeah, okay, Boston guy. So I get in the cab, and New York is one of the loneliest places in the world when you're alone like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm literally at the point of tears in the cab going, oh my God, it was the most gut-wrenching thing, you know. And so I run into Seinfeld at Catch a Rising Star, and I just met him, like I said prior, about a month ago. And I said, Jerry, I go, I just went on stage at the Improv, and I went down in flames. It was the worst experience of my life. So he goes, hey, you're the only one that knows it. Don't worry about it. You know, and he put it in perspective. But he also said something.
It's not like they heard the explosion down the street.
Yeah, exactly. But he also said what you just said to me. He said, look, he goes, you need shows like that to know that, okay, there's life after this. The sun will come up tomorrow, and I'll do on stage again another night, and I'll be better. And it really, that's exactly the point he made to me, that what you just said, that you need to learn that it's okay, that you know, I'll be on stage again, and it'll be different next time. And you need to bomb like that because it builds you and makes you stronger, kind of the old adage, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Well, let me ask you this question, Jackie, because you've been around the comedy scene. You've been all over the country, all over the world performing comedy.
Yeah.
When you first started, how did you decide you even wanted to attempt comedy? Like, where did you see it? Where were you exposed? How did you decide?
My dad used to listen to a lot of comedy. Like, he had, like, when I was a kid, my dad listened to Pat Cooper. You probably heard of Pat Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
My dad's Italian and Irish, and I'm Italian and Irish. My mom was Italian, and my dad's Italian and Irish. And so Pat Cooper was the Italian-American comedian. His real name was Pasquale Caputo. And so, as would have it, I used to memorize like Cheech and Chong albums when I was a kid, and my dad would like laugh and make me like recite it to his friends, and I'd do a "Dave's Not Here, Man," you know, all the Cheech and Chong stuff. And I listened to obviously George Carlin and Richard Pryor and all these guys, and they were all influential to me. And but Pat Cooper was the one I had a connection with because of that. And so, of course, when I'm about 18 years old, my dad was a member of this like social club down in Miami. He'd go down to Florida in the wintertime. My mom and him were snowbirds from Boston, and. So Pat Cooper was hired to play at this club that he was a member of. So my dad, of course, invites me. He goes, Pat Cooper. So I see Pat Cooper, and again, I'm 18, and I still don't know what I want to do with my life, but I always liked comedy. My dad was very funny. To this day, my dad was the funniest guy I know, and a lot of comedians, you know, their dads were funny. And my timing and my delivery I get from my dad, pretty much, I think. And we get to meet Pat Cooper, and I remember he signed a little thing. I had it for years somewhere in my memento pile. I don't know where it is, but it's the Pat Cooper. And I said, you know, Mr. Cooper, I want to, you know, I'm so excited to meet you. I'm a big fan. He goes, oh, yeah, classy kid, huh? All right. You know, like meaning like because I'm a fan of his comedy, which is kind of off color. So at any rate, cut to years later, my dad died at an early age. My dad died at 55, and I've been doing stand-up only like 2 years when he died. So he never got to see me, unfortunately. You know, life's bittersweet. The only guy you want to impress is your old man. And, of course, he doesn't see me do 99% of the shit I did in my career. And but I get to open for Pat Cooper. You know, my dad's already been gone. And I have to pick him up because I'm the opening act. So I pick him up, and he takes me to dinner in Providence, Rhode Island, in the Little Italy there. Section, and we have dinner, and he's telling me all these showbiz stories, and then I open for him, and he's very complimentary. I do really well, and I go, God, I would give anything for my dad to have been here. You know, I mean, it was just such a crazy experience. So that was my, but to go back to like when you asked me about how I got into it, I went to school at University of Miami in Florida,
right on,
where I just told you I saw John Valley, Dr. Dirt, you know, down there when I was a kid in college. And they had a talent night that was actually sponsored by Catch a Rising Star and Miller Lite at the time.
Okay.
I still had the T-shirt to this day. And they had, it wasn't a comedy night. They just had a talent. One person played the piano. Someone had some puppets. And another person, you know, played the violin. I did some stand-up. And at the time, like, I didn't know what I was doing, really. I just knew I was a fan of Rodney Dangerfield. I did some Rodney Dangerfield impression. And then I wrote a couple of, you know, jokes that whatever I could think of at the time. I did like 5 minutes. And I didn't do great. I mean, but to this day, I wouldn't relish that gig. It was 400 drunken college kids at the university pub. It was called the Ratskeller. And a gig I wouldn't relish as a professional, never mind as a rank amateur, you know. So,
but somehow you walked out of that one.
So I got
more.
Out of it with a little feeling like, oh, but I knew that I didn't want to go off ever like half-cocked again. I wanted to prepare. So I waited, and it was in the back of my mind for a long time. Then finally in Boston, I'm back home and after college in 1987. This was years later. And I just had been thinking about thoughts and jotting things down. And my buddy talked me into going on to an open mic. And I called up all my friends and I said, hey, I'm doing open mic. So I made it so I couldn't back out. Like I had people going to the show.
Okay.
So I went and I did a, you know, 7-minute open mic night. It was called Comedy Hell at this place called Stitches in Boston.
Giving people who've never done comedy before 7 minutes
exactly.
is Comedy Hell.
Exactly. It was an open mic night. And they'd have a host, this guy, George McDonald, who's a friend of mine to this day. He was a big headliner in Boston at the time. And I did it, and I did well enough to be invited back, and you keep going, and that's how you end up, you know, and eventually you get enough time to, you know, do it professionally. And matter of fact, to this day, I remember my first paid gig, and my dad was not really enthusiastic about me doing comedy because he thought it was like me, like, hey, I'm a drummer now, like, or whatever my new fad was that I was into, like, I'm going to be a drummer.
Did you have a lot of those? Were you a kid who was
like,
in and out of what you were
going
to do?
Do this, you know, and my dad just wanted me to do the family business and get involved.
What was the family business?
It was like a fast food thing. We had a, you know, we had fast food stuff. It's called Anna's Fried Dough. It's like, you ever go to carnivals and they put powdered sugar and cinnamon on? Well, yeah. So another part of my life, my grandfather owned a carnival. He was a half owner of a carnival in Boston, New England area.
So you come from carny folk.
I'm a carny. Yeah, look, I got small hands. So, at any rate.
Somebody's got to get those ping pong balls out of the fish
right?
bowls.
Yes. So, at any rate, long story short, my dad wasn't very supportive because he thought it was just something that I was just going to distract me. But right before he died, he saw that I was committed and he was okay. He finally gave me his stamp of approval, kind of, I guess. And so that was kind of cool. But my first paid gig, I was paid. I was so excited. I go, Dad, I was going to get $40 to go to Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, from where I grew up in Arlington, Massachusetts. And it was about an hour drive. And I go, Dad, they're paying me $40 to go to Hampton Beach. I was opening for like Jimmy Tingle, I think, or somebody up there, you know. And he goes, $40 to drive to Hampton Beach. He goes, I'll pay you $50 to stay the fuck home, you know. So so that was his, you know.
Your dad does sound like a funny guy.
Yeah. So at any rate, that was that's a true story. So
you got on stage. Yeah. You got it into your veins. Yeah. You're into it. And yeah. How long were you doing comedy before you met the Farrellys?
I did stand-up comedy. I was doing it around 7 or 8 years. In 1994, I had won, you mentioned it, I think, the San Francisco Comedy Competition, the International San Francisco Comedy Competition, which was a big deal at the time to win because it was an away win. I was from Boston. Usually San Francisco guys were the winners. Like Robin Williams came in second 1 year. Dana Carvey won, I think, Sinbad and all these guys. And that's like Doug Stanhope won the year after me in 1995. I won that, which was a huge thing. And at the time I've been doing, I started in 87, that was 94, so roughly 7 years or so. And then I ended up getting a manager and agent. They said, you got to come to LA. And I moved to LA, but I was back visiting my family in the summer of 95. And I was doing a charity golf tournament, one of the first ones I got into. Like you have mentioned that I do a lot of golf tournaments. They raise money for, you know, charity golf tournaments all the time. You always have comedians doing, you know, you donate your time for the charity and do a little stand-up. So the Cam Neely of the Boston Bruins, who's just, you know, the president of the Boston
Bruins. He did a lot of comedy shows.
Did a lot of stuff to raise money for the New England Medical Center in Boston, which is a great, great cause. And I'm doing stand-up there, you know, just a little thing for charity. And Peter Farrelly was there, and I think Bobby might have been there too, but I met Peter. I don't remember meeting Bobby for some reason. And I didn't know who the hell they were because, you know, I didn't, you know, I'm Dumb and Dumber. I had just come out, you know, the year prior maybe, and but I wasn't that hip to who. And he says, hey, I think you're really funny. I got a movie I'm doing called Kingpin, and I think there's something in it for you. And at the time I was thinking like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, some Hollywood, you know, guy just blowing smoke, you know, and sure enough, Pete being Pete, and you know, I've come to find out he's a dear friend of mine now, but
so
he follows up and he sends
me
the script and he calls me up and I did the movie Kingpin. Yeah.
So you were suspicious of him approaching
I was suspicious of like kind of like phony baloney Hollywood guys going, oh yeah, hey man, you're great, let's do lunch, have your people call mine, you know, great, you know, all these phony baloney guys.
I mean, I'm not saying you went home and like called your dad and your family.
No,
I
was like,
I got a movie.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, exen. So at any rate, I do Kingpin and we shoot it in Pittsburgh and in Reno, Nevada, because it was a bowling thing. They have the National Bowling Center out there. But at the rap party, I remember Pete. I thanked Peter. I said, "Hey, man, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity." I said, "You know, as a comedian, like that, again, the next logical thing is you want to do like comedic acting in movies and stuff, or sitcoms or something." And I said, "Thank you for validating the last, you know, 7 or 8 years of my life as a comedian." And he said, "Ah, don't worry about it. We'll work together a lot." And at the time, again, I go, "Oh, yeah, okay." You know, thinking he's just being nice. Sure enough, he puts me in Something About Mary. I end up writing. I do Punch Up with those guys like for years, where we take the script and make it a little funnier, a bunch of writers. And puts me in Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene, Shallow Hal, Stuck on You, on and on. And, of course, the only movie I'm not in is Green Book, which he wins an Oscar for. So that's my luck, you know. But at any rate, that's kind of the story of my career.
That is a bummer, but you have to be happy for your friend getting the Oscar.
No one was more happy than me. I jumped off the couch when he won. I got to go to the Oscar party afterwards.
So you're fresh off a win, a big win. You're just going and doing something, and then all of a sudden, you now have a career in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Even though you had an agent and a manager, that's how
I got it from being seen doing it, which is kind of cool because it was actually kind of very. It validates, like, you know, a lot of times, sometimes you got to give to get back, you know. And I was doing a comedy show for charity, and then unbeknownst to me, the movie director's there, and he puts it. So it's nice how karma kind of works a little bit, you know.
It's a weird thing, but it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was great.
I have to ask you, though, when you first get to a movie set for the first time after just doing stand-up comedy, how different was it for you? You were like, what?
It's a whole different experience. It's, you know, a little nerve-wracking, and you're scared because you want to do a good job. And, you know, I mean, I went to school for theater at University of Miami where I went to college, but I wasn't, like, a great actor or anything at that point. You know, I just kind of took some classes. You know, I wasn't sure I could, you know, how good I would do, you know?
Well, they put a lot of trust in you. I mean, after a while, I mean, they put you in a big scene, a big thing with Cher, all people.
Yeah, Stuck on You. Yeah. Played opposite Cher. That was fun.
I bet.
Yeah, that was exciting. And again, nerve-wracking. But she liked the comedians. She, you know, Dom Irrera opened for her for years, and I was friends with Dom, and we talked about that and kind of broke the ice a little bit. So that was kind of cool. But she couldn't be more gracious and totally, like, self-deprecating. You know, we made fun of her, obviously, in the movie of her diva-ness, but she kind of was great. She was great.
When Peter says, "So listen, I'm going to have you playing Cher's manager."
Yeah.
Were you like, "Who's going to play Cher?"
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was like, "Wow, Cher, you know, Oscar winner." You know,
what do you think your dad would have said about seeing that?
I've been very impressed, probably. You know, it's sad. Like I said, I remember watching the Sonny and Cher show when I was a kid with my dad. So, you know, I mean, he never saw me do anything, unfortunately. He saw me do stand up. I was a fledgling comedian before he passed. But that was it.
Yeah,
but I believe he sees. I think they see some of.
You know. Do people think of you more as a stand-up, or do they think of you as like a character actor?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know. I've always felt identified more as a comedian myself. I feel like I'm a comedian first, but I've done a lot of acting now and a lot of character stuff. So I guess depending on how you've seen me or what you first saw me, maybe if you just see me in movies and then, oh, he's a comedian, I didn't know that, then you'd probably think of me as an actor. And vice versa.
I'm proud of you for the answer, though.
Yeah.
Comedian first.
Yeah.
Comedian first lasted always, baby.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. Yeah, I'm a stand-up comic, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this about stand-up. You've never slowed down with it. You've just been going and going and going with stand-up.
35 years professionally, like this past June probably. My first – that gig in the Hampton Beach where I got paid $40 was probably June of 87. So it's
happy anniversary.
Years. Thank you.
That's huge. 35 years of continued work in the business that
in
you
the
love.
In the words of my buddy Don Gavin, apparently I'm not going to make it.
You and me both.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very impressive because, like, you've had a lot of success in other places, but, you know, coming to Rochester, New York, you have to love stand-up to be able to do that.
But I like, hey, you know, I was here a couple times. I was here years ago. I worked, but I was also here for some other thing one time. And I think I told you I was dying to get back and go to Dinosaurs because it was the greatest barbecue I've ever had. And I've been in Memphis and South Carolina and Austin, Texas, and, you know, Louisiana. And it was as good a barbecue as I ever had. And the true story, I was there at the bar and with Peter Farrelly of all at the time.
Okay.
We were in town doing some other thing. And we go to the concierge at the hotel. Said, "Yeah, we go. Where should we go for lunch?" They go, "Check out that barbecue place called the Dinosaurs." Like, all right, we're sitting at the bar eating, and at the same time, literally, we looked at each other. We had the sampler plate we both got, And I looked at Pete, and he looked at me, and almost identically, we just said to each other, "Is this like the best barbecue you've ever had?" And as we said that, I swear to God, it's a true story, the bartender overheard us and walked by, and she said, "It's funny you should say that, because we were voted last week best barbecue in America." And we both looked at it, and we said, "We believe it. It was that good." Yeah. And I never would have thought you'd go to Rochester, New York to find, I guess the start of it was in Syracuse or something, where they had the first original store, I guess. So I've been dying to go there. I was supposed to go last night, but they closed at 9 o'clock. So I was so aggravated. I was going to go over there.
Well, dinner's coming tonight, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go there tonight.
It's kind of funny. Like, all these cities that get known for the barbecue and, like, states, oh, Carolina barbecue.
Unbelievable.
Kansas City barbecue.
Rochester, New York.
We
I'm
get
telling
nothing.
You, and if it's not the best, it was as good as anything I've ever had. How about that?
Everybody's going, garbage plates, garbage plates.
I've been there, too. Nick Tahoe's. Yeah, I've been there.
The barbecue people.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Unbelievable.
It is.
You've been there, I imagine. Yeah.
Do I look new?
Yeah.
Been there, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. Not going to lie.
Again, I'm afraid I hope I didn't build it up too much in my mind and then go, you know how it is. Never, things are always like, and then you go, and you go, it wasn't as good as I remember. I hope
it hit you right that first time.
Yeah, it did.
Maybe don't go back.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it. You know, it's like meeting your heroes. You know,
maybe go down the street to Sticky Lips Barbecue. Go to a different barbecue place this time. But listen, Jackie's going to be here for four more shows this weekend. The great thing is he's going to be here with our friend Joel Lindley is going to be opening for Jackie all weekend. And Sean Day, the winner of the Funniest Person in Rochester contest 2 years ago, is going to be your MC. So it's a stacked lineup this weekend at the Carlson. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com. And ladies and gentlemen, for all things Jackie Flynn, you can visit jackieflynn.com. Jackie, what are you doing next? You got anything fun on the horizon that you're working on?
What am I doing next? I got a couple of projects I'm working on. I've got this TV show we pitched to Netflix, and it's they're writing it right now as we speak. And hopefully they're going to greenlight it, God willing, if they like the script, which I hope they will. And that's coming. And then I got just doing some stand-up stuff, you know, pretty much. You know, I got a movie I did with Bill Murray, Russell Crowe, and Zac Efron. I shot it in Thailand. It's a Peter Farrelly movie.
That's an interesting cast.
It's a drama, a Vietnam movie that it's his follow up to Green Book. It's called The World's Greatest Beer Run. The World's Greatest Beer Run is coming out in September.
Oh, man.
It's a great movie. Yeah.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, it's a great, it's really, I think you're going to like it.
I'm in. I'm sold.
You're
I
in like
pretty
Flynn.
Much see everything that he makes.
Yeah,
he did that's a why good I've job, seen I mean. You so many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that. I mean, it's not shocking to me because I was telling somebody earlier today that, you know, he wins the Oscar. It's crazy that a guy that did Dumb and Dumber and Something About Mary, you know, wins an Oscar. But, you know, just because they don't usually give comedians, comedic writers Oscars. But it didn't shock me because. You know, all his movies, even his dumbest movies, you know, you care about the characters.
He does an amazing job of character development.
You know, Harry and Lloyd and Dumb and Dumber, you care about their plight. And as goofy as the premise is, you know, so that's why it doesn't shock me. Did I ever think Pete Farrelly would win an Oscar? No, you know, but it doesn't surprise me that he did because he's that good of a writer. You know?
Yeah. Could you do me a favor and pass a message on to him from me?
Sure.
I feel like he was robbed for There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, it's great.
That's just
great
me, though.
Movie. Yeah, great
That's
movie.
That's just me. I thank you so much for your time this morning, Jackie. Yeah. Folks, you cannot go wrong. This is a great weekend to come on out. I know it's. I know we're getting towards Labor Day. We're going to be off next week, but we will be back the week after with some more Carlson cast and some more great shows here at the Carlson. Jackie, thank you again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vinny.
And until next time, we'll see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.